So as we celebrate tonight the actual vigil of the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So just that notion of a vigil, the night preceding the great festivity. You know, oftentimes we mistakenly refer to the Mass on Saturday night as a vigil Mass, but it's really a Mass in anticipation of Sunday. There are a few, I think nine feasts throughout the church's year where there's a true vigil the night before. And this is a practice that really maybe even predates the Christian practice. The Romans had the practice of waiting the night in anticipation of the great feast the day before. And so the Christians adopted that practice for some of their great feasts. And with the Christians, it took on a penitential observance as well. So in historical times, this would have been a day of fasting for us. Much like Lent is before Easter, or Advent is before Christmas, a time of self-denial so that we can truly celebrate the great feast, the great festival that's coming along the calendar. And if we remember from the gospel yesterday at Sunday, that walking on the water happened in the fourth watch of the night. The vigil, that's that night, that's the watch of the night where the vigil really comes from, that middle of the night, where the Christians would wake up and they would sing songs and they would read scripture and they would offer prayers in anticipation. It used to be a common practice to wake up in the middle of the night to offer prayers. And so it's in that context that we gather tonight, of anticipation of the great feast that we're celebrating tomorrow, that great feast of the Assumption of our Blessed Virgin Mary. That she, when the course of her earthly life was ended, was assumed body and soul into heaven. Why does that matter? Why is it a holy day of obligation? And why do we have this night of preparation and anticipation? Because Mary goes where we hope to go. Mary's living the life that we hope to live, the life in heaven. Throughout this day, as I was preparing for the homily and even just sitting in the chair listening to the readings, this older country song, depending how old you are, depends how old the country song, I think it's from the 90s, something about, I try not to think about what might have been. Maybe you know the song, I don't know. But just that phrase has been coming into my mind. Thinking about what might have been. I mean, it's a breakup song, so that's not a perfect correlation to this. But in a way it is. Because as we celebrate the Assumption, we get to think about what might have been. What might have been if Adam and Eve had never sinned? If sin had never entered into the world, what might have been? That we never would have been separated from God. That we never would have lost sanctifying grace. That we would have lived in perfect and total communion with Him from the very beginning of our lives. And so what happened to Mary was supposed to happen to us. Oh, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? There would have been no victory. There would have been no sting because death is a result of sin. And we never would have experienced it. So as we know, as the church teaches clearly, Our Lady was conceived without sin and lived a sinless life, a singular grace that we celebrate on December 8th. And so she was assumed into heaven, and she reigns in heaven as queen. And next week, on the 22nd, we'll celebrate the queenship of Mary. She sits at His right hand arrayed in gold. And we get that from the Old Testament, where the king's mother, the queen mother, had a special place in the king's court, a special place of intercession on behalf of the people. So because Our Lady was assumed, now she reigns. And she was able to be assumed because she had no sin. So she's reigning. She's living, body and soul, in heaven. This day is important for us just in our natural world because there's so much confusion about the body, about the human person. I mean, we could go through a whole course of theology of the body from John Paul II to help us understand that, but we don't need to. The body is good. God created it, and we are body and soul. And death is the separation of body and soul. And so the bodies that God made us with are good and they're necessary. And when we get to heaven, God willing, and at the final coming, when our bodies are reunited in heaven, God willing, then we will get to really use our bodies for the purpose God had made them, for a complete and full worship of Him. You know, some of the great saints, the church fathers, would say that angels are jealous of humans because we have knees. We can bow down and worship. We can lay prostrate in front of the glory of God the Father. Mary's doing that now, using her entire body to worship the one true God. And so how we use our body, what we do with our body on earth is significant. How we worship, when we kneel, when we stand, the postures of our hearts are so important. And Our Lady has gone before us to show us what should be for each of us. So this night of vigil, this night of waiting in anticipation of what is to come, our whole life is that way. Our whole life should be a vigil of anticipation, of waiting for the great glorious reunification of our bodies and souls in heaven, God willing, that we die in a state of grace and that we go where Our Lady already is. So let's keep this night of vigil. Let's keep this night of waiting, of great anticipation, of great expectation. Because of death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? It reigns no more.